In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. We gather in holiday time, and coming back to my comment earlier, please do pray for our schools as they break up. One of our industries here is education, and as I said earlier, very often children are placed back at home during the holiday time, where school was a safer place than being at home. And lots of things, sad things, bad things happen during holidays. So do pray for our children and those who care for them. By the way, I'm just conscious, I'm talking to the 8 o'clock this morning, how often we get you to stand and sit in the service. A friend of mine who went to an Anglican church for the first time said, I can't believe you get us to stand and sit so many times. So thank you for doing that. By the way, it's very good for your longevity. Right, so strong legs, good muscles, and squats or whatever, good muscle tone, and that's where you need your protein, is very, very good for longevity. So there's a benefit in coming to church and standing and sitting. Okay, we got lots of doctors here, and they would confirm that. The other good thing, of course, is for our longevity, there's huge value in just being together, cooperating together. If you want an early death, live in isolation. And some people these days believe even almost as much as good nutrition and good exercise, just our communal life in sharing life together, cooperating together, doing life together, is a major factor in a long life. So keep coming to church. It will make you live longer. Now, I said last week, the bucket list of bits of scripture that you need to know are like this chapter, Romans chapter 8. Most of us don't actually read the Bible on a regular basis. It stays on the shelf at home. A bucket list of really key no scriptures is Romans chapter 8. And by the way, you might really struggle to understand it. The language is complicated. It's incredibly rich. Can you believe it was written 2,000 years ago to this great empire called Rome? If you struggle to understand it, get a modern translation or go online, put in Bible Gateway, and you can select, for example, all sorts of varieties of translation in your native language. But if you go on to something like The Message, it gives you in contemporary language what these words mean that we're reading today from Romans chapter 8, 12 to 25. Now, one of my responsibilities here is to be a pastor. A pastor, probably the most important role. Pastor, to shepherd and lead God's people. So today, and this afternoon, when I speak to Friends for Christ who have got an anniversary service here and they've asked me to speak, I want to speak about this passage quickly. Five marks of what it is to be a Christian who is led by the Spirit. There are people who view life and think that there is only a horizontal view to life. If you're a non-believer and an atheist, you believe basically there is only a horizontal view to life. The sad story of atheism, we come from nothing, we live ultimately for nothing, and we go to nothing. That's atheism. That's a very sad story. Come from nothing, live for nothing, go to nothing. The Christian believes that actually our lives are living for the living God, that there's a vertical dimension to the way that we should live. Horizontal dimension, by the way, a lot of Christians just live as a horizontal person. They really don't really live with any real connection with God. They just go through the motions. But we are called to live by the Spirit. And that's why it's really precious. Never forget, above the church here at St. Andrew's, we've got our dove, who is representative of the coming of the Spirit of God. One of the greatest delights I have when we have children who come into church, particularly the schools, I say to them, what do you notice? And virtually 8 times out of 10, they say, what's that bird up there? I say, well done. What's that bird, Father, Reverend? That bird is the sovereign Holy Spirit. It should be resting and guiding every single one of our lives. So what are the marks of the Spirit, if you've got them in your life today? Are you just somebody who really lives as an atheist, really? Your life is just a horizontal view of life. There is no real vertical dimension. You really don't consult God in reference to the choices that you make, who you are, about your work, your children, your family, your future. What's going to happen with you? You live really like a horizontal person. There's no vertical dimension. That's not a Christian. We live by the Spirit. First of all, if you live by the Spirit, you live free. By the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, Paul says. You stop living for yourself. You stop just living for I. You live your life in complete, as much as you can, reference to God. So it's worth asking the question, are you living by the Spirit? What sort of person are you becoming? What sort of person are you becoming? You see, as a result of you living by the Spirit, you should have a desire to please God. Repentance should be part of your daily life when you fail. You should increase your self-control. There should be a willingness to change unhealthy attitudes and behaviors. There should be an improvement in character because you are growing in holiness. One of the most wonderful things about being a Christian is that right to the very end of your days, if you get the Holy Spirit who wants to influence and come into your life, right to your very last breath, you can improve in your Christian character. Most of us here are all getting older, and we're getting more frail. I noted it yesterday as my dog, Albie, ran across the park to a lady who's got 2 dogs, who's complained about my dog's behavior many, many times. And I ran across to him as quickly as I could get to him to put it on the lead. I realized I wasn't as fit as I used to be. And I ran out of breath very quickly. Not like that guy yesterday who beat the record for the 1 mile. What a gift. I realized I was getting frailer. By the way, this particular lady wrote to the archdeacon about my dog. Can you believe that? I'm serious. She wrote to the archdeacon about my dog. And I have to apologize. All he is friendly. It's scary being a priest, you know, sometimes. But right to your very last breath, you can improve in Christian character. And if you're the same person that you were 5 years ago, or maybe you've deteriorated and you haven't grown in Christian character, that's a struggle and a concern. If you still have the same poor relationships with the people in the church that you've always had, and the people who you avoid, or the people that you tiptoe around because you're not quite sure as to whether or not you should speak to them, and very rarely maybe you do speak, and the exchanges aren't good, that's very sad. Because as a Christian, you should be constantly improving in your character and becoming more like Christ right to your very last breath. And actually, it's the one thing that is gifted to you as you get older, that you can become more generous, you can become more kinder, you can become a better person right to your very last days. That's the gift that's given to you through Christ. Sadly, many of us become more miserable, moan more, condemn more, become less generous, and become harder as we get older, despite the fact that we're professing Christians. If you're living by the Spirit, what are you becoming? I remember being in Seattle. I went to a church. Never been there before. As I walked to the church, this beautiful building in Seattle, I walked into the church. This gentleman turned up. He was beautifully dressed in a suit. He wasn't part of the welcome team, but he came across to me and said, "Oh, lovely to have you with us this morning." He gave me a lovely bar of chocolate, put it in my hand. I'd never met him from Adam. He looked at me and said, "Where have you come from? Tell me a little bit about your story. It's lovely to have you here." He was about 80 years of age. In our conversation with that person, I realized that his Christianity had made him a sort of person that he'd become something wonderfully special and real. I sat down in the pew in that church and I thought I was blessed so much for that 5-minute conversation with that person. He had become something because of his Christian faith. What are you becoming? As a shepherd here, I ask you, are you still struggling with the behaviors that you struggled with 5, 10, 15 years ago, the addictions that you have? What are you becoming? Spirit-led Christians should be increasing in their wholeness, holiness. Second, Spirit-led Christians, says Paul in Romans chapter 8, know who they really are. They cry, "Abba, Abba," because they know that they have a father and that they are his beloved children. That their identity is no longer shaped by fear or failure or what they possess or what they're about, or what they achieve. Their identity is no longer shaped by fear or failure. They don't value themselves by their popularity or their power or their success. No, they know that they have a Father in heaven and they can call him Abba, that they are beloved children of the living God. And so they show a confidence in prayer. They trust in God's love. They are free from constant fear and insecurity. They have a deep sense of knowing that they belong to God's family. I fear that the reason many of us who come to church have the same struggles and the same fears of most people who live out there and who shop at Sainsbury's this morning and have really no understanding of who they are is because we've never really owned that we are children of the living God and he loves us and we can call him Abba. Third sign of somebody who is following the Spirit's lead is that they follow the Spirit's lead. It says here in Romans 8, those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. So these are the people who ask this from our notes. Instead of simply asking, "What do I want?" they say, "Where does the Lord want me to be? How is he leading me?" So their decisions are prayerful. They have a teachable spirit. They desire to follow God's will, and they are growing in Christian character. They are led by the Spirit. Now, when was the last time you sat down and said, "Lord, I'm really uncertain about the future. What's next for me, my relationships, my work, my life, my finances? I'm really uncertain about what's going on with my kids. Please lead me, Father. Send your Holy Spirit and lead me into this, through this difficult situation." When was the last time you did that? That is the mark of somebody who is led by the Spirit. They seek the Spirit's leading for their life. When I retire in October, one of the jobs I will take on is to become a spiritual director. I want to become a spiritual director because I'm very aware that people just live their life. They come to church, but they really have no spiritual direction. They never really grow in the Christian faith. And they've never really learnt to trust the Holy Spirit with their future. And they live out of constant fear. When was the last time that you took the advice of Paul where he says, those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God and come alive to the Spirit for your life? Whatever you face recently might be significant loss, might be a real struggle at work, might be uncertainty, might be real concerns about an addiction or issues with your family. Let me ask you to invite the Holy Spirit into that situation so that he becomes part of your story. Come, Holy Spirit. Fourth and fifth to finish. People who are led by the Spirit, says Paul, are those who can stand when suffering comes. Paul says, our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Faith does not remove suffering, but it gives us strength to stand through it. So if you are guided by the Spirit, you should be faithful during hardship. You should have courage during adversity. You should have resilience rather than bitterness. And you should continue to trust, even though your life is challenging. Most of us here will probably end up dying in a hospital surrounded by machinery that will hopefully sustain us for a bit longer. How are you going to cope with that? How are you coping with the disappointments that come your way and the struggle? How are you coping with the things that are really out of your control? And despite your money, despite your success, you can't really gather and get it together. How are you coping with that? The only way that you can cope with the suffering that comes our way is by standing first in the Holy Spirit when life really hurts. I know it works because I've seen it happen time and time again with even members of our congregation here where real trouble has come their way and they've stood firm despite the suffering because of their trust in the Holy Spirit. And then finally, can we live with a future in mind? A mark of the person who is anointed by the Holy Spirit and welcomes into their life says, we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. We know that God's future is a promise. That we can be patient when our prayers are unanswered because we have an eternal perspective. And joy and hope can be part of our story, even though our story at the moment might be deeply imperfect. Five things. What are you becoming? Do you know who you really are? Where do you get your guidance from? How are you coping with life hurts? And where ultimately is your hope? If you were to receive tomorrow, God forbid, a diagnosis of a terminal disease, how would you cope with that? Despite the diagnosis, the Christian can receive that information and still have hope. That is the glorious Christian story on which we stand. Take the notes, do read them. Amen.
Let's pray. Let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the World Cup and England getting a medal, for such big international sporting occasions and the Commonwealth Games starting this week. The explosions of joy shown in people when a goal is scored and their team wins. However, we know for there to be winners, there also needs to be losers. We know how that feels, the despondency, the despair, and if only, the recriminations. We thank you for this lesson in realizing that our hope and our victory is not based on circumstances. which constantly go up and down, but in the victory of Jesus. For in him we are more than conquerors, through him who loved us. We pray for your blessing on Spain and Argentina as they play in the final tonight. May it be a uniting and enjoyable event. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our new Prime Minister, Andy Burnham, and for the selection of the cabinet and ministerial posts. We thank you for the legacy of good democratic governments in this country, based strongly in Judeo-Christian values. We earnestly pray for this to continue. We know this country, amongst all countries, faces many serious issues economically, socially, for security, health and education. The list goes on. These all may appear insurmountable, but you have a solution for every problem. And we pray for the guidance of our government to meet these many challenges. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for our dear church, St. Andrew's, and the community we are part of. We cannot thank you enough for the ministry of Lyndon and Barbara. We pray that as they unfortunately do leave us, you will springboard them into ever greater blessing and fulfillment. We pray for the different ministries within our church, for example, the Junior Church, Little Steps, the Youth Club, Messy Church, and others. Continue to bless, consolidate, and expand these and other ministries in order to bless more people, young and old, with your grace and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we continue to pray and we will always pray for peace and justice around the world. We bring before you the flared up conflict back again in the Gulf between America and Iran, the awful war in Ukraine and many other areas where there is violence and persecution. Lord, weaken the strongholds of the enemy, soften hearts of leaders and bring lasting peace. We also pray for those who continue to suffer from the Venezuelan earthquake. It may be out of the news and the spotlight, but there remains deep hurt and need. We also pray for those affected by the extreme heat, which can be unbearable for many. And we pray for the teams combating the many wildfires that are springing up. Yes, Lord, we do pray for it to be cooler soon and for some rain to restore and renew the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Father, we pray for parents, carers, and families as they navigate the summer holidays and the 6 weeks ahead. We pray especially for those under financial strain during the school holidays who may not be able to afford Fort Park and the like. We pray for their support. We pray for children's safety, and that they and all teachers and staff will enjoy this break in the sunny weather and be refreshed for September. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate God, look with kindness on all who suffer from physical or mental illness, from grief and despair. Shield them and protect them from being overwhelmed by it all. May your healing presence sustain them through the darkest days. We pray for all who care for the sick, Lord. Lord, give them your patience and endurance in their demanding work and protect them from exhaustion and fatigue. May they be a constant source of comfort to those in their care. We pray for the healing of those listed in Starlink, as well as those who are known to us. We pray for Sue Broach, Elizabeth Bellow, Malcolm George, Joyce Nicolay, Pam Story, Easterin Suresh, Belinda Zamansky, Martin Vowles, Gary Williams, and Angela Zadurian. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, comfort those who mourn. Draw close to them and minister into their grief and loss. Surround them with your loving arms in the knowledge that soon we'll all be united in your everlasting kingdom, free from pain and tears, and praising you all day long. We think of those who have recently passed and those whose anniversaries of death are remembered this week. We think of Anne Hayes, Diana Rodenight, Florence Clench, and John Cattermole. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, prepare us as we go out into the world this week. Open our hearts to your word and teach us your patient love. Keep us strong in faith when faced with the mundane trials of this life, that we may bring glory to your name. Keep reminding us of what really matters, to live lives that are free and guided and empowered by your Holy Spirit, to live like a loved son or daughter, to stand firm when life hurts, and to live today with tomorrow in mind, knowing the glorious future God has promised. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Great prayer.